This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Everybody, how are you? How's everybody doing? This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast, and I am your host, Eric Rivera. It's a pretty tough weekend to talk about for all of us Madridistas, but before we get into that, let's just do some quick social media, where you can find us, where you can hopefully tell your friends to find us so we can continue growing this podcast for all Madridistas out there, English-speaking Madridistas and Spanish-speaking Madridistas who want to work on their English. Our goal here is to continue to provide English language coverage of Real Madrid, one of the best clubs, or the best club in the world, obviously, for many of us Madridistas. So just so you know, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. So the handle is at Y Nada Más Podcast, and that is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, you can find our website, which is ynadamas.net. That's where you can find all of our episodes. If you don't, have your cell phone on you or your smartphone on you and you are in front of a computer and still want to listen to the podcast, you can find all of our episodes on our website at ynadamas.net. Also, if you would like to get in touch with us either via direct message, you can do that via social media, but you can also do that via email. If for anything you want to get in touch with us, perhaps suggest future guests, somebody to get in touch with us, you can do that at info@ynadamas.net. That is our email, info@ynadamas.net. So let's get into what everybody's probably talking about, and you've probably heard of it a lot. So El Chiringuito always puts on this like really dramatic music when they have exclusivas and stuff like that. And not to say I'm a big fan of El Chiringuito, because I think a lot of times they're just super dramatic and overly dramatic about stuff. Definitely, I think the Spanish press is as well. But I'm just starting, I guess, this way because of the fact that there's really not much I can say other than, our usual...
Hostia.
Do that again.
Hostia.
Yes. Hostia. What a terrible game. I mean, there's not a lot to say that hasn't been already said. I'm pretty sure all of you that are Madridistas, that love the team, that have been watching the team over many years, like I have... don't know what went wrong. It's a train wreck in the sense that it's okay. So it's still very, like I said, I have to calm myself down usually after a loss like that. I was just incredibly pissed. And the only thing that made me happy was obviously seeing Barcelona lose, because if they would have won, then I think I would have been even more angry. But that shouldn't be the case. We should be winning games. And if they're in, independently of the results of any other team, we should be the ones that are winning, and whatever happens with other teams happens with other teams. We shouldn't have to play that at the end of the season, play that, be out with our calculators trying to figure out who needs to win and who needs to lose in order for us to win. And it feels like Madrid and Barcelona, and feels like La Liga as a whole, and I'll get into that later, that's kind of where we are. As a team, that's kind of where it is as a league. It's kind of sad to see, to be honest with you. So in our last episode, I brought on Dr. Jota Football and Fun. He's got his own channel on YouTube. I recommend it to you guys. A lot of Spanish language news. He's going to be doing some other good stuff, and we're going to bring him on occasionally. Love talking to the guy. So, and, he's a Madridista like me. He's looking at these things and trying to figure out what's going on. We try to take with the good with the bad and see how, what we can take, what we can extrapolate from a performance like this and possibly have some sort of positives, possibly find some reason for this to happen. And there are reasons for this to happen, but when you get angry, and that's kind of why sometimes when it's I see all these things that people post on Twitter, and I was posting things myself at Inada Mas Podcast, which you guys can find there. We'll be posting things there as well, and we were posting reactions and things that were going on, obviously, as the game went on. But you know, your knee jerk reaction obviously is to be very, very angry and just wonder what the heck is going on and why the team looks so incredibly bad, and then start, you know, bad mouthing pretty much everything and everyone that has to do with Madrid. So you always have to take a look at it, and I try to look at it like this. You know, I'm not a journalist, but I've always had an appreciation for sports journalism, and I've already always had an appreciation for sports in the sense that I don't think, I mean, as much as, you know, Barcelona are our rivals and other teams are our rivals, I love football. You know, I love watching all football, all leagues, but number one always for me is Madrid. But at the same time, I look at other teams and, you know, there are teams that I like and there are teams that I dislike for a variety of different reasons, but you always try to look at these things objectively. You know, you always try to look at sports, especially if you're doing these types of things, look at it objectively. Now, some journalists are not, and others, you know, are a little bit more objective. But we've seen, obviously, we have in the Spanish media, we've seen that, especially if you follow the Spanish media, you've seen they have a turn. They have a knack for the dramatic. So, you know, a lot of people are calling for Zidane's head and, you know, Benzema's terrible and the whole team is just garbage. And granted, there's a lot of passion in that sentiment, and there's a lot of stuff that I understand about that sentiment, because that's kind of how I feel. I feel we were an absolute garbage team. You know, there's really that first half. So let's go into that with all that explanation. I mean, let's go into that. So what to say about a terrible, terrible game? I wrote a lot of notes before I did this podcast, before I, you know, prepped a lot of kind of things I wanted to talk about. There was tons of things I probably forgot, but I wanted to calm down, because if not, I'd probably just be spitting profanity on the microphone. But everyone on the pitch looked terrible. It was just a disaster. I mean, and that's where I'm talking mostly about the first half, really, though, because the first half was an absolute disaster, just a disaster from the get-go. I mean, we just looked like we had no idea how to play football. And not only that, it just looked like it did not look like Madrid. You know, I think there was some Madridista that, I mean, I follow a bunch of people on Twitter. Somebody just said, you know, the team that played yesterday was not my Madrid, you know. You know, the team that played this weekend was just not Madrid. And it's not the Madrid we know, you know, and that's, I couldn't have said it better. That's just, we don't know who that team was. So who's to blame, though? Who's to blame for that performance? And I think there's a variety of factors. But obviously, everyone's pointing at Zidane. And I think in this case, rightfully so for some reasons. Not for all reasons, but rightfully so for some reasons. So I put out the starting lineup on Instagram. I do that. I'm trying to do that now for every game. And right from the get-go, a lot of people were already like, what the heck is going on? You know, starting out, our starting 11, you know, with Lucas Vazquez, which is the huge why, you know, he's become sort of the meme that is Jesse Lingard for Manchester is the meme that Lucas Vazquez is for Real Madrid. He's just one of those players that nobody has any understanding of why he's on the team. And here's the thing, I hate, and I'll probably get into this a little bit later, but I hate to badmouth professional players and professional teams or professional sports. Why? So yes, I always kind of talk about my fighting days, but one of the worst things that we had when I was coaching fighters, and one of the worst things that you had as a fighter, were just people yelling nonsense from the crowd. You know, things like, you know, punch him in the face, or, you know, kick him in the leg, and things that, you know, obviously we've thought about before. You know, somebody in the crowd isn't going to make you change your philosophy because they're yelling something that most likely most of the people in the crowd have no idea what they're talking about. So I kind of hate bad mouthing players like this, especially that they're professionals for a reason. Now, that with that said, there are players that just don't belong on certain teams, you know. With Real Madrid, it's one of those teams where really it's one of the teams that you have to be the best of the best. And there are multiple teams like this all over the world where really you are expecting to see the cream of the crop of football when you're watching these teams. You know, that's why there are different divisions for football. You know, there are big leagues. So there is La Liga, there is Serie A, there is Bundesliga, there is Ligue 1, there is Premier League, and you're expecting that with those four leagues, you are going to see the best and the best in the world. And then you're expecting that with other leagues, you're going to see maybe a lot of up and coming talent. I would say, you know, one of those is obviously Liga NOS, which is from Portugal, the league in Argentina. You know, you have, you know, all the leagues in Brazil. You know, you're going to have your diamonds in the rough that are eventually going to make it to these big European clubs. And there's probably other leagues too. But, and then there are your leagues that are just leagues that we see that aren't that great, and football that isn't that great, you know. And then you're obviously your second divisions, your third divisions, your fourth divisions, which some of them aren't really professional players. So you can't take it away from them, because you can't criticize them, because they are players that are, they probably have their regular day jobs and then play on the weekend. So that's kind of where that whole Sunday league football, you know, joke comes. So nothing worse for a professional footballer to be called nothing better than a Sunday league football player. And that's not saying that Lucas Vázquez is a Sunday league football player. I think he's talented. I think Lucas Vázquez is talented. I've seen interviews with the kid. He seems like a great dude. But it's just one of those things where that term that is used a lot, which is Real Madrid caliber, the caliber of Real Madrid, el calibre del Real Madrid, o el nivel del Real Madrid level players. Lucas Vázquez, for me, has never been one of those players. And still, he's on the squad, you know? And you wonder how on earth he gets a starting spot. And that's, I mean, so let's put into perspective, you know, and that's just one of the people on the lineup, but I'm picking on him right now. But when was the last time any of us as Madridistas or anybody in the world said, wow, what a game by Lucas Vázquez. What a talent that kid is. What an amazing player Lucas Vázquez is. I was blown away by his performance today. When was the last time anybody heard that about Lucas Vázquez? No, we've never heard that about Lucas Vázquez, you know, as a Real Madrid player. I don't even think when he was playing in his days prior to Real Madrid. The kid is talented, but he's not a Real Madrid player. I can see him playing for Valencia, Levante, you know, Valencia now, I think, but like Levante, Granada, you know, Getafe, Leganés, Alavés, you name it. I mean, he's from Galicia, so, you know, Deportivo La Coruña, you know, which is now in the third division, but it is what it is. Celta Vigo, you know, you name it. Lugo, you know, whatever, you know. That's where he belongs. And I don't see what it is about Zidane with his, you know, we let players, like, you think about this weekend, and we let players like Reguilón go. We let players like Ashraf Hakimi go. We let players like Bale go. Now, obviously, I'm not defending those things, because at the same time, I'm not saying those were totally bad decisions, because there were other things that came, and we have to see as Madridistas, that's not all to blame on Zidane. Hakimi did not want to be a second string player. He did not want to be a substitute for Carvajal. He knew he had more talent than that. And more power to him. He wanted to go somewhere where he was going to get more minutes. Reguilón did not want to be third in line after Mendy, Marcelo, and then Reguilón. Which, that's, seeing how Marcelo played, and I hate to say it because I absolutely love Marcelo, one of my favorite players, not only as a person, but as a player. But Marcelo's not the same Marcelo that we saw seen so many years for Madrid. He's just not that anymore. And to let go of somebody like Reguilón, for him, I mean, it should be Reguilón and Mendy fighting for that, for the first team spot of that starting 11. You know, and to let him go was just mind-boggling. Bale, I think it remains to be seen how he's going to done with Tottenham. So, you know, I'm not going to keep beating a dead horse with that. But the guy just didn't want to be with Madrid anymore. And he was becoming, I think it was toxic for him to be at Madrid, and it was toxic for everybody else to be at Madrid. Everybody just wanted that debacle to be over. Whether it was an issue with Zidane or whatever, but he also didn't approach it the best way. So I think he's better off where he is. James needed playing time. But we'll get into all that stuff a little bit later. But it's just going back to that starting 11 that was put out before the Cadiz game was just left everybody scratching their heads. Isco is... Man, I'm going to be honest. I've never liked Isco. I've never liked Isco as a player. I like the guy, but I mean, I'm one of those people, you have to detach yourself from calling. There's a lot of people that like to be very, very disrespectful towards people and players simply because they perform badly. But you have to take away who they are as people from who they are as players. And if they're decent, I mean, none of these people have ever showed us that they're assholes, you know? So to come down on Isco, and, you know, I've seen in Twitter that they were coming out down on him and then his wife and all sorts of stuff and, you know, talking about they wished him death and all these types of things. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And if you're one of those type of people that are following a team, you're just an idiot. I mean, I'll come right out and say it. You know, to wish death on a player or anything like that is kind of stupid. You know, we don't get paid to watch these guys play, you know. Them losing is not life or death. You know, it pisses us off, but it's not life or death. So anyway, Isco, he's just, I've never been a fan of his. I think he's always too long on the ball, doesn't let it go. He's always, you know, yes, he can move with the ball. He's got some pretty good dribbling, but it's almost like, yeah, it's stuck to his feet, but he's never got ideas of where it needs to go, like where the ball is going. And for all the criticism that there has been about Hazard's fitness and Jovic's fitness and everything, nobody talks about Isco. Nobody. And you know what it is to me? Some things that bothers me, there is a lot of Spanish nationalism, obviously, when it comes to these type of things, but it's probably because he's from Spain, you know, so nobody's going to criticize him. But they'll criticize Hazard. It's also because Hazard cost, you know, what he cost. And Jovic, you know, whatever. But, you know, Jovic, it's for other reasons, I guess. But Isco just hasn't looked in form. He hasn't looked in shape. He looks slow. I mean, there's a bunch of times where I can remember the commentators are saying, you know, they basically set up Isco, you know, one of the midfielders, whether it's Modric or it's Kraus or one of the defenders, you know, basically, you know, launches a long ball forward in order for Isco to get it, and he just can't get there. You know, even when the ball seems like it would be something that Vinicius would get to, Lucas Vázquez would get to, Benzema would get to, Modric would get to, any other player would get to, but Isco, it just seems like he would have gotten there in the past, but he's just not getting there now. He is slow. Okay, so that, just those guys right there, Marcelo, Isco, Lucas Vázquez, Nacho, you know, these guys are just players that shouldn't be on the starting XI ever anymore at all, you know, and that was the issue from the get-go. So here's the reasons why obviously we think that happened. So why did that happen? Why did we get that such a terrible starting 11? Well, you have to take under consideration that they just came back from an international break. So here's why Zidane probably chose that. They just came back from an international break. So players like Kroos, Modric, Kroos, Modric, Varane, Casemiro, Valverde, you know, all of those guys had just played 180 minutes of football, right? Most of them had. They had all been on international break. So I think we have to take into consideration that some of those guys were going to feel heavy and slow. But you also think about it is that these guys are professional. But see, that's where I kind of debate myself too, because it's so sad to see that we kind of think these guys are machines. Well, they're not machines. Maybe Messi, maybe Ronaldo, maybe Ibrahimovic after this weekend. Some of these older guys that just seem they never lose their form. Some of those guys are just, you know, absolute animals and just incredible human beings when it comes to football, but and when it comes to fitness, but they're not robots. These are human beings, and some of them are, some of them get tired, and some of them get worn out, and professional players. And then we have to take into account that not only are they playing today, but Zidane also had to account for the fact that they have to play Shakhtar Donetsk. What is it, Wednesday, I believe? My timing might be off, but I think it's Wednesday. So, yeah. So, Wednesday, they have to play Shakhtar for the Champions League. And then they also have to be looking at El Clásico. So, and then we already have so many injuries. You know, we have Hazard injured. We have Odegaard injured. We have Odriozola injured. We have Carvajal injured. You know, we really have so many of our players not ready to go. And so he's trying to figure out how can I play a starting 11 and try to minimize the amount of wear and tear I'm going to have on my players for these big games coming up that are Champions League and El Clásico. And then that's also, I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's, I think a lot of people were looking at Cadiz as a team that should have been, I mean, I was already posting on Twitter that, you know, hopefully we're looking at a 4-0. This would be a good opportunity for Jovic to score some goals. This would be a good opportunity for some of these younger guys to get some goals under their belt. Maybe I was predicting a 4-0 scoreline from Real Madrid. I was expecting an offensive masterclass. I mean, with what we had. But it just didn't happen. And it started off because the system just wasn't there. But so while those guys that were on international break, we can kind of give them a break for being obviously a little bit heavier. Sergio Ramos, Baran, you know, because they were obviously, you know, looked terrible at the back in the first half. But how to excuse the performances by guys like Vasquez, you know, that hadn't been there, by guys like Asensio in the second half. I mean, it's not that he played a terrible game, but it was just, you know, wasn't there either. Vinicius, Benzema, Isco, these are guys that haven't played any minutes. They've just been practicing. How did they look that bad? How did they look that slow, that out of form? They just didn't look up to the task. There was no attitude on the team. It seemed lacking heart, fire, grit, you know? Honestly, I would say, and people, I might get flack for this because I'm obviously, you know, a huge fan of the guy, but Modric is the only guy I see running all over the field like a chicken with his head caught off, at least trying to get things done. And even he had a bad game. And then what can you expect from the guy? He's 35 years old and he's been one of our best players forever, but he's not going to be like that anymore at the age he has right now, and especially after playing, representing his team in the Nations League. And he looked fantastic against France. So, you know he's still got talent. But he can't be the only guy. Honestly, I like to say this. If we could put the heart of guys like Modric and Marcelo in like the heart of and Fede Valverde, who I think has just tremendous heart. If we can put that heart and that workmanship, that workmanlike discipline that they have, especially guys like Modric and Valverde, into every single player on our team, I mean, we'd have an unstoppable team. If we could put their gas tank in there, you know, like guys like Valverde and Modric and, well, Cristiano Ronaldo, if you could put his gas tank in anybody, I think we'd be great. You know, but it's just not the way it works. There was just lacking heart and attitude. And I'm wondering if, could it be possible that they are just no longer believing in the system anymore? Are they no longer believing that Zidane has what it takes to manage this team? And I love Zidane, so I'm not going to criticize him like other people would criticize him. Like, you know, Alfredo Duro on El Chiringuito is already saying, you know, thank you for everything, Zidane. You know, Pochettino is waiting. Like, we're already going to fire this guy. No. I mean, I've defended Zidane in the past, and he's led us to glory on so many occasions. But we have, so there's got to be that respect from Madridistas. There has to be that respect from us as fans. This guy has given us so much in the past. To criticize him, you know, seemingly, yes, it's only five games into the season, but it was a really bad game against Cadiz. And that's why everybody kind of, you know, turned on the alert. And I, like I said, I've defended him. But he is not exempt from criticism. But let us remember also that the majority of his managerial career at Madrid, he had one of the best striking trios in football when they were in their prime. Bale, Benzema, Cristiano Ronaldo. He had the best midfield possibly in world football at that time with, you know, prime Modric, prime Kroos, prime Casemiro, which I would say Kroos and Casemiro are still in their prime, but Modric is not, you know. And then you had a pretty deep bench to go to, you know. Isco was playing much better back then. He wasn't what he, you know, is today. You did have a James there as well. You had other players that you could go to. Our defense was solid. Our keepers were solid. You know, but that's no longer the case. You know, this is a transitioning team. And while it's a transitioning team in the sense that it's got a lot of young guys and a lot of veterans, it seems like I'm wondering, does Zidane have the tactics? Does he have the tactical acumen? And I'm not, you know, and that's why I'm saying I hate to criticize, because what do I know about tactical acumen? I've never coached a soccer team, a football team. I've never coached a group of guys that are world class, you know, on a football team. But we do know that there are other managers out there that with seemingly less players seem to get incredible results. You know, you look at how Granada is performing. You look at how Getafe is performing. You look at some of these smaller teams. You look at how Cadiz is performing away from home. And you're starting to see that in world football, there are teams and there are managers that are able to get some incredible performances out of players that nobody else would consider world class. Professional, sure, but not world class. You know, when you're talking about the managerial geniuses that are the likes of, let's say, Jurgen Klopp, Mourinho in his prime, Pep Guardiola in his prime. Does Zidane have the tactical acumen to rescue a Madrid that isn't the same, you know, Madrid that put fear into everyone many years ago? It seems he's finding it difficult to get the best out of the players that we have. I mean, it's not only the lack of firepower. It just seems like it's the lack of creativity. And I, like I said, I dislike ragging on players and managers. I'm not a professional. I don't have the skill set to be a player or a coach. Never had it. But more than one Madridista in the world can see that we are not even close to being a Real Madrid to be afraid of anymore. This is just not a team that seems to scare anybody. And when you have Vasquez and Nacho, and I understand Nacho, like people are ragging on Nacho and all this stuff, but Nacho has never been a starter. He's always been a backup player. He's one of those guys, like I was saying, Jota Football said something great the other day. He called him like the electrician, like the guy who the plumber, the guy who comes in to plug holes, the guy who comes in to fix things. Nacho has always been that player for us. If we're missing a center back and we don't have anybody to back us up, they bring in Nacho. If we don't have a right back, in this case, like we don't have Odriozola and we don't have Carvajal, which are usually our first choice right backs right now, you bring in a Nacho. So it's kind of hard to rag on somebody that their job is to plug holes, really. You know, he is not ever and was never intended to be a starter, but there is nobody else in his position. So it's unfair to really hammer on him when he's really not the first choice guy. He's being brought in to as a solution. You know? But with that said, it's just how are our opponents afraid? Once again, I go back to Vasquez. Vasquez is a player that they probably see as a player that should be on their team, that could possibly play on their team at their level or less. So they're not afraid to go run at that right flank of Madrid that has Vasco and Nacho covering it and a 35-year-old Modric. They're not afraid to attack that. They're not afraid to attack a left flank with Vinicius. I mean, I love Vinicius, but he's not a defender. And then you have a Marcelo that doesn't defend. You know, so, and in this case, you had Isco there in that position covering that flank too. And it's like, why is any team going to fear running down those flanks and beating us there? Marcelo isn't going to be there. Marcelo isn't going to track back anymore. He doesn't have the speed anymore to do that, to run up and be the aggressive player he was and you know, offer to the offensive side, offer to our offense, but then also run back and run to our defense. I mean, that's the modern game. You have to have right backs and left backs. Basically, you have to have fullbacks that are able to run up and down the pitch all game to offer offensive help, but at the same time be a sturdy defense. Marcelo's not that guy anymore. Was he really ever the greatest guy in that sense when it came to defense? No, but he was so creative on the offense, and he did just enough, obviously, in a defensive, and he was quick enough defensively to help us, but he's not that player anymore. So are teams afraid to really go at us and try to go at us? No. Sergio Ramos isn't going to clean everything up. Varane isn't going to clean everything up. Those two guys are not going to be able to clean everything up if the rest of the midfield is not doing their job. And if the fullbacks can't keep up either. It's just, we looked basically, like you say in Spanish, una coladera. Like a colander, basically, where people, you know, like a sifter, basically. There was just holes all over the place that these guys could sneak into. And if it wasn't for, a goal line save and Courtois, a goal line save by Ramos and Courtois, we would have lost that game by way more of a brutal scoreline in that first half. We could have walked away that first half of losing 3-0 against Cadiz. And now that would have been already, like, I would see people calling for Zidane's head even worse. You can't lose to Cadiz by 4-0 or 3-0. That'd be an absolute debacle. I mean, we're talking about a 1-0 scoreline, but everybody knows that Cadiz played an amazing game. They played an amazing game also because Real Madrid played a terrible game. But we can't take away from Cadiz doing what their job was, which is, it's not their problem if Madrid is having a terrible game. If Madrid is having a stinker, that's not their problem. They're going to hit us with everything they got. And they did. And they were able to score from it. And we were lucky that Negredo couldn't score, that didn't seem to be able to, didn't have his shooting boots on or his head fine-tuned to basically, you know, head the balls that he was able to head into, you know, win in the air, and he wasn't able to get them in. We're lucky. We're lucky to have somebody like Courtois that can save us time and time again. You know, for everything Zidane said in the last press conference that he wanted to make life easier for Courtois, he's not doing it. And the team isn't doing it either. It's just an absolute mess. And we have to see what's going to happen against Shakhtar. What's going to happen in El Clásico? I mean, we're just lucky at the same time that this is just such a terrible season, it seems like, for both of these two teams, and we'll get into that in a few seconds, where it comes to Barcelona and Real Madrid, I'm saying, is that the Clásico is really up for grabs. And like why I said, it's way too early to call for Zidane's head like many Madridistas and a lot of these other really amarillista, very, you know, very, how would I say? God, what is that? What do you call that? The you know, that press, the press that's basically always the supermarket aisle press, basically your National Enquirer type magazines and type talking heads that all they're going to do is criticize. I mean, I was saying this on Twitter the other day. I mean, the Spanish press just makes money and gets ratings by ragging on Madrid and Barcelona. For them, those two teams failing or winning, it doesn't really matter. As long as somebody is being causing some sort of strange and giving them something to talk about in order to shit on those two teams, it's going to make them money. So when things like this happen to both Real Madrid and Barcelona in the sense that they lost their games on the weekend, it's absolute glory for these teams, for these guys. So obviously they're going to already start calling for Zidane's head. Ah, you know, we know Zidane's terrible. Zidane, he doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, I can give them some edge. I can give them some credit there. But I'll tell you something. If Real Madrid fail to win their UCL opener against Shakhtar on Wednesday, and then they don't perform against what we've seen as a very shaky Barcelona in El Clásico, Zidane is going to be in a lot of trouble. For Madridistas that are a lot more tolerant and a lot less tolerant than I am and other Madridistas. And of course, the Spanish are just going to love nothing more than to continue tearing into Madrid and just, you know, bringing the heat on Zidane. And is that really the solution? To all of you Madridistas out there, do you really think that's the solution? Getting rid of Zidane, do you really think that that's going to help us get any better? Who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to bring in that's going to want to pick up this team right now? You know, I know Pochettino is one of the names that people brought up there, but it's not only Zidane, it's the players. The players just aren't responding either. And we're starting to see, you know, that these movements, the sale of Reguilón, the sale of James, the sale of Hakimi and Diaz and Brahim Diaz, well, not the sale, but like the loans, let's say, of some of these players and then some of the sales of these players, they're going to come to bite us. They're going to come to bite us. James is looking amazing right now at Everton. They, you know, they drew with Liverpool, who are the champions in the Merseyside derby. Reguilón is starting to look really good at Tottenham. Hakimi, looking fantastic at Inter. Diaz, too. Bale, it remains to be seen, although I don't think his time at Madrid was over. But I just think all of that stuff is going to come back to bite Zidane, especially if these guys don't pick up their performances, Real Madrid, and then all these other guys that we let go have amazing seasons. Then there's going to be hell to pay. You know, and probably for me, too. I'll bring it up, but It's just incredible. I mean, you can, I don't know if you can tell by how kind of angry I am, but I just, you know, I'm just bothered. I'm just bothered by the whole situation because the players that we have are talented players. But I was watching this game against Cadiz, and I don't know if people will agree with me. I was watching this game against Cadiz, and I was just wondering, who is afraid of this team? No one's afraid of this team. There's nothing on this team to be afraid of. Are players afraid of Benzema scoring on them? Are defenses scared of Benzema? Are defenses afraid of Vinicius? No. Are they afraid of Asensio? Does Asensio make them tremble? No. A 35-year-old Modric that runs up and down the pitch and is probably the only one that is, you know, maybe Fede? Fede Valverde, I think, is a talent that they still have to look at and continue bringing him on. He's definitely a starter. He's one of our best players right now in Madrid. Kroos is coming back from an injury, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, he was one of our best players last season. But who's going to score the goals? Are we going to rely again on Sergio Ramos scoring penalties? Is that what we're going to rely on? Really? I don't even know. There's just so many things to pick apart. You know, the only thing that we could take away, the only thing that I can take away and the only thing that I consistently disagree. So in the last podcast, I spoke with Dr. Jota Football and Fun. I talked about with Dr. Jota about the 4-4-2 versus the 4-3-3. And as long as we don't have Hazard, while we don't have Hazard, because I think if we get Hazard back up and running and he's in shape and he finds his way, he is going to be one of those players that people are going to fear, that other teams are going to fear are on our team, is Hazard on the left flank, combined with Benzema, combined with maybe Asensio or with Rodrigo. I think Rodrigo is a very talented kid when he's on fire. He's looked certainly better than Vinicius at times last season. At least he makes the right decisions and he can score, which Vinicius still doesn't find. He hasn't found, you know, his shooting boots. They're starting to show themselves, but they're not all there yet. But if Hazard comes in and he's firing on all cylinders and Benzema picks it up, and then maybe we'll see something. But until then, we shouldn't be playing the 4-3-3 anymore. I would say let's start with the 4-4-2. It automatically looked better once they brought on, obviously, for obvious reasons, because Isco was terrible. Modric wasn't doing well. The team looked terrible in the first half. Once Zidane made all those changes in the first half to the second half and brought on Casemiro and brought on Valverde and brought on Asensio, the game started to change. And then once he brought on Jovic and they went to a 4-4-2, it seemed like Benzema, those were the first times that we actually saw that there were almost chances for goals. There was a goal that was disallowed, obviously, for offside. And then Benzema hit the post with a rocket of a shot that would have been an amazing goal to tie the game, which would have been undeserved either way from how we were performing. But Jovic and Benzema just looked better. Jovic takes pressure off Benzema to be doing all the work. And the problem is Benzema is not your number nine striker. He is not moving up and down just into center line, looking to basically pick up balls in the box and put them in the net. That's not what he's doing. He's drifting all over the pitch. And the problem is with Benzema drifting all over the pitch, nobody else is picking up the slack and running into the box. And there are times when Benzema drifts to the left, and I've said it before, you had him at some points, Marcelo, Vinicius, and Benzema running all over each other on the left flank, and there is nobody in the box because nobody is making runs into the box to score. And you had a Cadiz that was just content to sit there in the back and block everything that was coming in. Just content because they knew. And it wasn't until Jovic came in and Benzema had somebody else basically doing that work as well that you started to see that open up a little bit. Because now they had somebody else they needed to pay attention to. But we're only playing Jovic for 15 minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, whatever. He's not playing every other game or every two games. As Dr. Jota said in the last game, I think, in the last podcast I did, let the man play 5 or 6 games straight. Hook him up with Benzema. See how that works out. It's obvious that what we're doing right now is not working. Why are we going to continue doing that while we don't have a healthy Hazard and we don't have healthy wingers? Vinicius is not a starter yet, guys. He was a non-issue versus Cadiz. Asensio was a non-issue versus Cadiz. Our wingers were just not there. So the 4-4-2 might be more of a boring system at some points. Why not play a flat 4-4-2? Maybe put Kroos and Casemiro in the middle. And our wingers turn into extremos, you know, to basically on the left and right midfielders. You know, why don't we just let them do that? Just, you know, that's what we did in this game. And we look better for it. And Asensio back, Vinicius back. Maybe not. Maybe play a whole line of guys, like maybe say on the left, I don't know, put Vinicius in and put Kroos, Casemiro, and Fede on the right. Flat 4-4-2, and then have Jovic and Benzema up top. You know, let Kroos roam free, let Kroos roam as almost that center attacking midfielder, and Casemiro sort of shift out, be that center defensive midfielder and somewhat of a diamond formation in and out. But be a 4-4-2. Play that for now. See how it works. Although I don't think, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just trying to come up with things like that. Fede should be a starter. And I know it's because he played with Uruguay and the South American qualifiers are always extremely tough. As you can tell, they don't call fouls and VAR is non-existent. So it's like, it's exciting. And it's difficult, the most difficult qualifiers for sure, but it's the Wild West of football. And this whole thing of not having a backup for Casemiro is definitely an issue. Because it's not Fede. And you can bring in Blanco from our B squad, but it's not going to be enough. This is definitely where we're starting to see where we need somebody like Camavinga to come in, you know. I mean, he's still young, of course, but he's showing definite promise. You know, we need somebody like Camavinga to come in. There was that whole idea of, you know, Jota talked about in the last podcast too, that the idea was to bring in somebody like Donny van der Beek. And that obviously fell through because of COVID and all that, and now he's at Manchester United. So there were plans for that kind of thing, to have Casemiro with a backup, but if we don't have Casemiro, it's blatantly apparent that our team is lacking in defense. Casemiro is basically the mop that cleans up all the mess before it gets to our center backs. And he's done an incredible job of it. And when he's not around, we look terrible. All right, so moving on from that, I mean, there's really nothing else I can get from that. Other than I think we should play the 4-4-2. At this point, there's no reason for Zidane to keep tinkering with our lineup. Play the players that you know are good enough. Modric is fantastic, but leave him on the bench and bring him on in the second half. Fede should be a starter. Casemiro is always a starter. Nacho is all we have for now, so leave him there. Vasquez should not be a starter. Asensio should be starting. There was no reason that Asensio shouldn't have started that game. If not, bring on Rodrigo, but Vasquez should not be on that team. Isco should not be a starter, ever. That's what I'm saying. And I think everybody that's a Madridista knows this. After this game, it's apparent. Those are the guys that we know who are the guys that need to be playing. And please, for the love of God, Zidane, give Benzema a break. Every single game for him cannot be a world-class game. And he's not looking world-class as of late. He just hasn't had good games. He can't do everything up top. Because if the wingers aren't helping and the midfielders aren't running into the box to score, there's nobody for him to pass it to. And then there's every defender is focusing on him, because he is our only, every team knows that the only guy who can score goals for us on this team is Benzema. It's like a funnel. They know everything is going to go to that guy at some point. Because there's nobody else right now. And if they cover that, if it's a funnel and you only have one exit from the funnel and they plug that hole, what else do you have? Nothing. Nothing. It's done. No goals. It's clear as day. And then we have another striker on the bench who we don't even seem to be getting the best out of, because we're only playing him minutes at a time each game. Like, come on. I think every Madridista can, and you don't have to be a world-class coach to see this. Let's do those type of things and see how it goes, because It can't possibly get worse than this. You can't possibly play worse than you played against a newly promoted Cadiz. And that's no disrespect to Cadiz, because like I said, they play their game. And it's not ever their problem how bad we're playing. If we're playing bad, doesn't mean they're going to take it easy. Screw that. You see an opponent that's hurt and you go for the kill. And that's what they did. They saw a team in disarray and they just went for it. And we're lucky they didn't score more goals on us and make it look even more pitiful. Anyway, moving on, guys. So with all that said, with Jovic and everything, obviously this Jovic thing, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about was Mayoral's, that genius's comments over the weekend or last week about you know, his discussions with Zidane about Jovic. You know, why would you, I mean, that guy just probably never wants to play for Madrid again. Because to put one of your teammates, okay, because, you know, one of your team, you're basically loaned, right? And you're loaned out, and to put one of your teammates and your coach, because you're still owned by Madrid, to put them in the spotlight like that is probably one of the most, like, idiotic things to do as a player. It just, there was no thinking done on his part before making those statements. Why would you do that? Why would you bring that out into the light? That, you know, that's sometimes the things. Yeah, people are saying, oh, you know, free, let him talk, let him say whatever they want, they're transparent or whatever. But it's like, come on, guys. There are things that are, you know, when you work for a company, you know, there are things that happen within a company that you just do not discuss with the public, that the public does not need to know. That's why there's things called, like, non-disclosure agreements. You don't give out information, all this information about what's going on behind the scenes all the time. Because there are some things that the public doesn't need to know about how you go about and do your business. Because it's going to open it to sometimes to unnecessary criticism that could be basically just misunderstanding. And the guy had to go back and correct himself that that's not what he meant and everything. And he just made himself look like an idiot. He made Jovic basically obviously uncomfortable. And he made Zidane look like an asshole, which we don't know if he truly is or not. But basically that's what happened. Like, why would you open your mouth like that? To say that he preferred, you know, oh, he really preferred you. He really preferred me, but I wanted to leave to get a better chance. So they decided to stick. They really wanted Jovic to leave, but Zidane wanted me. Like, how did you think that that's not going to put everyone on the club in a bad position, especially when you know how Madrid press is and how the press is? That guy must never want to play for Real Madrid again to have done that. And honestly, man, who is he? Who is Mayoral? I mean, let's be real. I don't like to rag on players, but for Mayoral to say, like, to act like he was just some sort of, you know, this world-class player that obviously Zidane needed to have him, you know, needed to have him, but, you know, he chose Jovic because, I wanted to go out and do, you know, more things or whatever, and I wanted to showcase my talent, and it was a better opportunity for me to come to Roma. Man, get out of here. Scored 16 goals for Levante. You know, you're not Cristiano Ronaldo, Griezmann, or Luis Suarez, or any of, like, the top number nines in the world, man, to be just, like, spouting off in a press conference like that. Who does that? Anyway. So the last thing I guess I want to talk about is La Liga. I think it's the end of an era. We've already known this is an end of an era, but it's the end of the era. Like, when I was talking about teams not being afraid of Madrid anymore, I just think that Barcelona and Real Madrid no longer strike fear into the hearts of their opponents anymore. You look at Barcelona, that's not, Getafe didn't look afraid of them. Getafe looked like they were, they struggled at times, but they looked like they had that pretty tied up. And if it weren't for them missing some total sitters, they also could have eaten more goals, Barcelona. There's just, you know, they're going for these young players. Messi's just not looking good at all. But it's also because I think his mind is somewhere else. Fantastic player. I'm not going to shit on Messi because I'm a Madrid fan. The guy is a fantastic player. But the man doesn't seem like he wants to be there. He's walking a lot more on the pitch, guys. A lot more. He's giving away a lot of balls in the middle of the pitch. It's hard for him. It seems like it's hard for him to pull off a dribble these days in these last few games. Getafe's defense was all over him. Kept taking the ball away from him. Kept losing the ball. What's this guy? Arambari? He looked great. Cucurella? Man, what a player. Barcelona made Getafe look like amazing. And it's just because Barcelona and Real Madrid no longer strike fear into the hearts of opponents anymore. And I think La Liga doesn't anymore. Who? What team? Sevilla? Maybe Sevilla. I think Sevilla is the only team I would say is like, you know, kind of a scary team in the sense that they just have a lot of heart and they play well. And they're playing pretty decent. And they still lost against Granada this weekend. The only undefeated team is Atletico. And they're still struggling to find, you know, they're struggling to find goals, but they have so much talent on the team. And with Simeone behind them, I mean, they're going to play that defensive, very roughneck football, but I would say right now they're favorites to win the whole thing, to win La Liga. But is La Liga really a team? Is La Liga really a league that scares their opponents now in Europe? I don't think so, guys. You have a Bayern that looks absolutely unstoppable. I don't think any other team can really, I mean, you know, in the last podcast we mentioned it, they're just the best in the world right now. I can see them winning the Champions League again. Müller and Lewandowski are on another level right now. And not only that, you had Gnabry, but now you have Sané. You know, you have Davies on that team. You have Goretzka, Kimmich. All these players, just insane players. And as old as they are, man, you know, you have other defenders. You have, you still have Boateng, you have Sulle, you have Neuer in goal. I mean, come on. You have so many talented players on that team. You have a young, solid right back in Benjamin Pavard. You know, you have Lucas Hernandez. There's just so much talent on that team. They're a solid, solid team. Alaba. I mean, look at all the names. And then you just have guys that can score at will in the front of the goal that are on fire. You have a guy who could score goals just basically like a broken faucet. He's just putting goals in the net, which is Lewandowski. Number one striker in the world right now, bar none. And then Dortmund is a force of young killers. You know, you have Sancho and Haaland. You know, what's this? The young kid, the American kid, Reina. You have just talent there. There's just talent there too. I mean, they're coming up, you know, still... But it's a talented team. Dortmund's going to be a force right now. Serie A is having a resurgence. You know, you got to see Napoli and Atalanta playing some really exciting football. Inter are dangerous. AC Milan is interesting to watch. Juve, you know, has Cristiano. It doesn't matter. You know, has Cristiano, Dybala, Chiellini, Bonucci. It's got Federico Chiesa now. You have interesting players there. And in the Premier League, look at all these teams that have just beefed up their Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, bringing in Ziyech and Werner and Kai Havertz, and you know, and they have, you know, they just have talent on the team. All these teams are dangerous now. Not to mention, you know, your PSG when it comes to Ligue 1, your Lyon, which isn't looking too shabby. These are all teams that could Tekken on any given day could beat a Barcelona and Real Madrid. Liverpool, Man City, come on, they beat us. Inter is going to be our toughest competition in the Champions League group stage. I see Juve beating Barcelona. I see Juve beating this Barcelona when they play in the next few weeks. I think La Liga is just in a bad spot. It is no longer the era where teams were scared to death of facing Madrid's BBC and Barcelona's MSN. And Barcelona beforehand, when it had Xavi and Iniesta and, you know, and Messi just ripping everybody apart. Those teams used to strike fear into everybody. Every team knew, it seemed like they knew they were going to lose. It was just by how much. Now the team everyone's worried about losing against and wondering how much seems to be Bayern. Nobody else. But all these other teams, they're not in La Liga. And I don't think they're afraid of any of our big teams right now. Barcelona's in a huge crisis. Madrid, Barcelona's in a huge crisis that extends not only in its football, but in its financials. And Real Madrid is in a situation, in a crisis when it comes to its football right now. We just need to figure out what we're going to do with it. But anyway, the Barcelona game, Messi looks lost. Griezmann misses a sitter after complaining that he wasn't playing in the right spot. He missed a goal that just anybody that is world caliber should never miss, you know. And I like Griezmann. I actually met him personally here in Miami. Nice dude. When he was playing for Atletico at the time. But yeah, man, he's not looking happy. Messi's looking lost. Ansu Fati, you know, everyone's talking about him, but he's still not there. Coutinho is probably one of the best players they have on the team right now. But everything else, oh my God, man. Just not good. Not good at all. And they were saved by the fact that Getafe missed, you know, two clear chances also to not go further down. That chance that Cucho Hernandez missed would have just sealed the deal. So you know what? The next Clásico is really like the crisis Clásico. It's the two teams that are in crisis to see which one is just going to continue further down the rabbit hole. And I really hope it's not going to be us, Real Madrid. So with that said, guys, that's you know what? I was going to do the La Liga recap and everything like that, but it's already gone an hour, and I really don't want to keep you here with everything. So, you know, thank you for listening. You know, I know this was a crazy, crazy weekend of football, especially for us Madridistas, but also for La Liga. I think it's just wild that everything that's going on with La Liga, it seems to be echoing, like Jota said, the strange and difficult political situation and financial situation, economic situation, and just crisis situation that Spain itself is going through. It just seems to kind of all tie together. It's like Spain puts football in politics. I think it's like one of those countries that they're so intertwined. Football and politics are so intertwined in Spain. More so than any other country that I've seen. But I think that's what makes La Liga exciting. You know, that rivalry between Barcelona and Madrid is exciting because of that. But anyway, guys, I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast again. You know, we got a lot of good reception from obviously bringing on Jota for the last episode. I like having somebody to converse with. So that was fun. And I'm going to bring him on for some more analysis in the next coming podcast. And hopefully we'll be out of this mess, but definitely like to rack his brain about this mess. But he's been posting some stuff, and he posted some scathing stuff about his opinion on, you know, the starting 11 versus Cádiz. So check that out on his page at Jota Football. But besides that, guys, that's on YouTube. But besides that, you can always catch us at Y Nada Más Podcast. That is our handle on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. You can also find all of our episodes and on our website, which is ynadamás.net. That is our website. And then also, if you want to get in touch for any business inquiries or want to talk about, like I said, we're looking for some people to write some blogs and things here and there, some analysis articles for our webpage, please get in contact with us at info@enadamas.net. So with all that said, also we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. We are also available now on iHeartRadio, the iHeartRadio app. So if you have that, you can also check us out there. Just look up Y Nada Más in Spanish, Y Nada Más, Y Nothing, you know, and Nothing More, from the A La Madrid song. So check us out on all the places that you can find your podcasts, and make sure that if you are listening to us on your iPhone, on Apple, please leave us a rating. Please leave us a comment. It helps us rise up in the ranks of the podcasting library there within iTunes. And that's it, guys. I really appreciate you guys joining me for another episode of Y Nada Más Podcast. Hopefully we'll have some better news. Obviously with El Clásico and the UCL opener this week against Shakhtar, which they're not an easy team either. So, I mean, they're champions usually of the Ukrainian league for a reason. So, that's it, guys. I know it's rough times to be a Madridista, but let's keep our heads up and a la Madrid always, guys. So thank you again for joining us for this episode of Y Nada Más.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.